Hi, welcome. It's Jackie Wicks with Peer Trainer, and of course I'm here with JJ. Hi, JJ.
Hello.
And we are going to kick off the very first class. So welcome and get ready, and I'm going to hand it over to JJ.
Thank you. And this is week one is dive in, and so I'm going to go through what should have happened already. But I do know that we've had people jumping in and right up to the last minute. So if you are one of those people, just realize if you're a day or two after, it is totally fine, all right? But what I want to make sure that you do is go to the Getting Started tab and review everything there. And there's a Getting Started audio where I talk you and walk you through everything, starting with the five healthy habits. And hopefully, since you are all peer trainer peeps and I found much more sophisticated than the average person out there, a lot of these things are things that you're already doing when we talk about these five healthy habits. And again, I went on through them in depth on that audio, but I'm just going to pop through them real quick just to remind you that the first thing we do is get you set up for success. Again, if it's not in the house or the glove box or the office drawer, then you can't really get it, can you? So first thing is get the enemy out of the house and everywhere else it could possibly be. And those are things that we are not going to be indulging in over the course of the next couple weeks. And, Jackie, I always have people say, well, what about my kids? And I guess my question is like, well, do you like your kids? You know? Do they really need those gummy bears? I don't know. I don't think so. So, you know, this will benefit everybody. I will tell you, if you're doing this with your family, you almost don't want to say too much to them. Like, they won't realize the meals are healthy meals if you don't blab on about it. And, I don't know about you. I know my kids, like, if you blab on too much about that they're healthy meals, I have one who totally is into that, and the other one who will turn his nose up. But as long as you don't tell me, it's no clue. So we just stay on the down low. The next step is one that you're used to doing, which is weigh and measuring weekly. I did put in some tips about how to measure correctly, but that is something that you will be doing on your log, of course, and that is critical.
Yes.
And yes, the next one, and I know this one has really kind of like rattled you over there, Jackie, like this really got you going, was when I started to talk about water.
Completely.
Touched the nerve.
Uh-huh, absolutely. I started, even with the introductory call that you had done, suddenly I said, I do not drink enough water, and I live in the mountains, so I immediately changed the second I heard you say it.
Well, you know, I think it's all about being mindful. And one of the things I love most about doing a two-week cleanse is that it's really about focus and being mindful. And for so much of this, it's maybe not even stuff, it's not like it's new information, but you're actually using it, which, of course, knowledge is only powerful when you put it into action. So we've all heard that we need to be drinking water, but it's like you get to the end of the day and you go, oh, oops.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So that's why I was very specific in this handout and on the audio of exactly when to drink that water. And this is another great thing to put into your log. So, again, listen to the audio, read the handout of exactly when you should be drinking your water. And I'm just going to say when you shouldn't be is especially with that one meal. With shakes, they're already easy to absorb. The protein's easy to digest. But with your other meal, don't be drinking a lot of water with that meal because you'll dilute your stomach acid. So, again, refer back to this as to when to drink. But also in here, we talked about two other areas. And I know this has been coming up a lot, and one of them is alcohol and one of them is caffeine. I like to say my two favorite food groups. Throw in dark chocolate and like, wow, you know, you've got to try the trifecta.
Uh-huh.
I'm a real world nutritionist. So as far as caffeine goes, and again, this is why I love these focus cleanses, because it makes you go, did I get out of control here? And I will just share a little, like being totally authentic. This last season of Freaky Eaters, my co-star and I, you know, I'm surprised that we didn't just start getting kicked out of Starbucks, because anytime we had a break, it was like beeline over. And that's what you see in TV a lot, because you work such ridiculously long hours, you're just like mainlining caffeine. And I had to like detox after that. It was like, geez.
Wow.
At home, I really control using organic beans and moving into more decaf than regular. And that's what I will tell you is this is your time right now to go, how much caffeine am I drinking? And to start doing those shifts. And one of the easiest ones to do is, because coffee is one of those really high pesticide crops, is to start shifting more and more over to decaffeinated so that you're taking it down. If you were doing 4 cups of caffeinated coffee a day, it's pretty easy to immediately take that to 2 and then start tapering. And, of course, I love transitioning over to green tea. And I know you said, you know, some people hate the taste of green tea. Exposure equals preference. I think the first cup of green tea I had, I'm like, and I was in Japan, so it was like hardcore, like, ooh. But, you know, when you start to really get into some of these awesome green teas, like I'll give a shout out for the Coffee Beans Cherry Blossom Green Tea, which is just a rock star.
There Delicious.
Some, oh, isn't it? I mean, and when they have that one iced, I'm like, yahoo, that and their blueberry pomegranate iced. Oh, and mix them together and it's even better. So I tend to do more iced green teas. I love them. Fabulous. And, you know, green tea's got theanine, which creates a state of relaxed alertness. But again, watch how much you do of that, too. Next thing I know, I'm snarfing down gallons of iced green tea and back on the caffeine. So this is, again, a time to be mindful. And during this time before the cleanse started, I had you tapering it. So if you're just starting now, please don't go cold turkey. Then you'll just be mad. Taper, and use this time to be mindful of how much of that you're doing. The reason that we're really pulling the caffeine and the alcohol out or down as much as possible, there's certain things I'm going to tell you must be gone 100%. I'm willing to play with you on a cup of coffee a day and a glass of wine a day, because I heard, Jackie, some people were like, I'll do it, but I won't give up my wine.
Every single person said that, so I'm so glad you're clarifying that.
Like, weren't those all your friends?
Yes.
Yes. Like. So, okay, busted. But it is. But I will tell you, the reason that we're trying to yank those out is because they do push on your liver a little bit. And remember, when you're detoxifying, and you will be detoxifying every day of your life, but when you're in a more intense state of detoxification, you want your liver to have all, you know, all of its resources possible. So ideally, you've taken the caffeine and tapered it out, and you've got the alcohol gone. But, you know, if you are sticking with one glass of red wine and a cup of organic coffee a day, it's not going to blow the deal. Okay. There are some things in here that will blow the deal, though, and I will talk about those. Now, other thing in the 5 healthy habits is to get moving. I will address that some people have asked, well, you know, what should I be doing during the cleanse? I tell everybody to move more during this time, and that's where I love to use a pedometer. It's outlined in the beginning audio. We really should be moving about an hour a day. And I'm going to tell you that shouldn't count as exercise. We'll address that later on towards the end of the cleanse when we start to move you into more of a sustained phase. But if you're one of those people now who's really training hard, you can still do that during this time. You may find that you have to decrease the intensity a little bit, or you're going to need to up your calories some. As long as you're sticking with the healthy food options that we're giving you, that's fine. And honestly, this is the way I eat all the time. It's a great training diet, so I think you'll find that it's probably helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, one other thing that you're totally used to, which is awesome. I mean, when I, you know, I teach doctors how to put weight loss programs into their practice, and one of the key things that I teach them to do is record and stay accountable, which is just what Peer Trainer is. So, I mean, it's like beautiful, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely true. And there we have the log right there in the team. Now, if you like to follow along more as an individual, you can still have your own log. You know, you just go in, the second you log in, we automatically give you a log, we give you a group. And of course, if you want to join people on the cleanse team, there's people sharing ideas, looking at the logs, talking about their goals. And so you can also get that support as well.
I just love that, because that is, when I talk about like the 5 fundamentals for fast and lasting fat loss, one of the key ones, there's 2 here that we're really hitting hard. Actually, they're actually all here, but the first one really is that we must have that support and accountability that's ready-made built in here. And the other one that you do so well is the tracking and reporting, because what you measure, you can improve. So I realized I just said, okay, these are part of the 5 healthy habits, and that as a part of the community, this is something that you already know and do. So just keep on going with it. And I love also that we have a special cleanse community, because you can kind of share what's going on here as we go through this. Now, the other thing that I asked you to do was to fill out a symptoms quiz and to really look at your goals. I know some people have been posting goals and your top health concerns. And when you go through these 15 symptoms, and these are really symptoms of any kind of toxicity, and especially one of the biggest places we're going to get toxicity, I got to tell you, is through our food, which is what we're going to address next. But when you look at these symptoms, energy levels, and when I say energy level, I really mean like an unsteady or poor energy level, sugar and carb cravings, sleep quality, bowel movement regularity, we'll address that later. That's a biggie. Mood, productivity, clarity of thought, hunger, motivation, skin issues, gas, bloating, and gut issues, sensitivity to smell, joint pain, headaches, difficulty losing weight. If you're looking at these and you're wondering if you have this, if you go, gosh, do I have trouble with my energy level? You have trouble with your energy level, because you're either going to look at this and go, if it's not, oh no, that's not me, it's you. Okay. If you're not sure if you've got hunger issues, you got hunger issues. Okay. So usually I say, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no right here. If it's not a hell no, it's a yes. Okay.
So that's a great clarification. Thank you for that.
Oh, sure. So now your top three goals. And this is where I want you to get very specific. And what's going to be fun is we are going to do a symptoms quiz post program. And so when you fill out this quiz, put it away somewhere, because when we take the next quiz, I don't want you to be looking at the last quiz. Because what I find so often, Jackie, is people go, I didn't have headaches. I go, yes, you
right.
did. You wrote it down. So same with the goals. And you know what I find so often is you're going to set goals like, I want to lose 10 pounds, or I want to have energy in the afternoon so I don't feel like I have to have that espresso in the afternoon, or I want to make sure I start every single day with 15 minutes of movement, or whatever these are. You're going to have your top three goals, and be as you heard how specific I just said those. I want you as specific as possible with these. What's always so cool is that you're going to set these goals, and even though we say, hey, release your limitations and let yourself dream, and you know, we can't help it. We're like, well, I can only lose 5 pounds. Well, you know, my skin's always broken out. That's not going to get better. You'll have these limitations. And what we find when we reevaluate this in 3 weeks is you go, whoa, you know what? I can go for a lot more. And mm-hmm. So this will really be, I'm just preparing you for, this is really kind of a, this isn't 3 weeks to an end. It's really 3 weeks to a new beginning. So that's, I always love moving into that next phase to show you where you can go from here. So again, be very specific. And it's great that you're sharing those up in the forum. That's a wonderful thing to do. Along with that, because some people are motivated by what is possible, but more people are motivated by avoiding pain. Hate to say
yes.
it. Right?
Yes, as a resounding yes. That was there. Yes. There was no hesitation there.
Right. It's all of us. So let's also talk about your three health concerns. What are you most freaked out about? That's the only way I can say it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like I always love people say, I'm going to start a wellness program. I go, people don't buy wellness. They buy, hey, I got to get my skin to clear up. I need to get my sex drive back. I have no energy. You know, I'm bloated and I'm not pooping. So
absolutely.
What is it? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, hey, you don't have to share those if you don't want to. So, you know, whatever you want to do there. But I want those down there because quite often the program will address those without even us trying, because especially if in the area of gas, bloating, skin problems, headaches, pooping, you know, it's going to get better. You'll see. So that's your homework. Now we're ready to dive in with things. And also, as you know, we do use a meal replacement shake. We are going to talk about shakes and your meals and all that. So if you were one of those people that jumped on last minute and those products aren't here yet, you can do this kind of pre-work while you're waiting for that to come. And remember, you'll have archived recordings of this, so you know it's not going anywhere. So you can do this on your own schedule. So that's the other great thing too. Now, we're going to talk about, and it is just a big source of frustration, and sort of one of my greatest goals out there is to get the right information out about both toxicity and how you detoxify. I do love that article that you had my buddy Jason write for Peer Trainer on how your body detoxifies. I hope that's up somewhere where everybody can see it. They know
yes.
about it.
Yep, and we'll link again to it.
Fabulous, because there, I swear, nowhere is there more misinformation than on toxins and how we detoxify. And once you understand really how you detoxify, it's kind of like, duh, it'll become very clear to you, because you know what, your body, you know, this is all science. So really what we're doing here is we're treating your body like the chemistry lab that it is. It's not a bank account, and applying scientific principles to help you detoxify well. The challenge we have right now, I think toxicity is one of our greatest health concerns, because we were never meant to be faced with and attacked by the toxins we get on an everyday basis. I mean, everything from some of the foods we're eating, and I'm not just talking the pesticides in the foods and the plastics that the foods are packaged in, and then, you know, the artificial chemicals that we're putting into them. I'm also talking about just some of the foods that have been introduced into our food supply that our body can't handle at the level that we're eating them. So you can get toxins from the air we breathe, the what you're drinking, what you're eating, what you're touching. It's really so much around us now that they say if we went to one of the most remote places in the world, we couldn't get away from toxins because of water flowing, air blowing, et cetera. So the challenge is we have overwhelmed these very beautiful toxic detoxification systems that our body put in place, you know, our liver, our kidney, and detoxifying through our sweat and our urine and poop, which is why you got to sweat and you got to poop. I know everybody pees.
Yes.
See, there's a lot of poor sweating and poor pooping people out there, which will be addressed in this program. So you detoxify in two phases, and the first phase, and what's so interesting about detoxification, and it makes sense when you think about it, is it's very, very nutrient dense. You need a lot of nutrients to take your body through the detoxification process. So you look at some of these programs where they take you down to bare, to, you know, no eating, only drinking, and then drinking what's basically sugar water. And I'm going, now how's that going to work? You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have these two phases. The first phase of detoxification, one of the things that needs the most are really good B vitamins. And what you're doing in the first phase of detoxification is you've got to free up those toxins that have been stored in your body. Because if you can't get rid of your toxins every single day, the ones coming in, ideally toxins come into your body. You're reducing your toxic exposure as much as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the toxins that do come in, you are eliminating through this two-phase detoxification process. But let's face it, we're not able to eliminate all of the toxins either because we're a poor detoxifier or we're getting too many toxins, and it's usually a combination of both. So you're storing them, and if you're storing them, they can lead to all those symptoms on that symptoms checklist and more, by the way, but those are some of the most classic ones. So you detoxify in two phases. The first is where you free things up. So now they're sitting out, and one of the places toxins really love to sit is out in your fat tissue. It's one of the key things that I found with weight loss resistance, because toxins can slow down the metabolic rate and make you hold on to fat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you see people are like, gosh, I'm colder than normal. They also tend to cause insulin resistance, which makes you better at storing fat, and they cause thyroid issues. So, I mean, they really get in there and start making you more weight loss resistant. Also, a lot of the food sensitivities can create a toxic response in this, what I call false fat, in this whole inflammatory cascade that makes you crave those very foods and become weight loss resistant. So it's a big key player in people struggling. And I've been reading some of the comments of people going, gosh, I've tried everything and I just can't lose weight. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know,
yes.
It just, my heart aches when I hear that, because I hear, you know, I've been doing what I used to do that used to work. You know, I've been cutting my calories. I'm like, let me guess, it's not working.
Well, it's also interesting that you said if you feel colder, like you're also talking about a couple of those other things that maybe you wouldn't even know could be attributed to this.
Exactly. So back to just kind of the long story of how we detoxify, let's just kind of cut to the chase on it. You got to free the toxins up. That's phase one. And then you've got to get them out. That's phase two, poop, pee, sweat. But in order to get them out, they have to be carried out by coupling up with amino acids. They can't go out without them. They have to be transformed by coupling with those amino acids, so they're packaged in a way your body can get rid of them. Where do amino acids come from? They come from protein. What are the richest sources of protein? Animal products. I also mm-hmm. will use, and that's where I use a great pea rice protein, because we can, through that combo, get a good good protein efficiency ratio. But you've got to, bottom line, get high quality protein. In fact, that's where I see when people aren't either have poor digestion, low stomach acid, so they're not able to break down protein well, that they're eating enough but not getting enough, absorbing enough, or that they're not eating enough protein, they tend to have more toxicity because they don't have a way to get it out. So when you look at a lot of these cleanses where they crank you up with a sugar water cleanse, they actually, these juice cleanses tend to speed up the first phase of detoxification, freeing it up,
mm-hmm.
and shut down the second phase because you lack the amino acids to escort the toxins out. What happens then is you get these toxins roaming around your body, and you become actually what we call autotoxic. It's a very inflammatory aging state where you create a lot of oxidative stress. That's like cutting the apple in half and seeing it turn brown, and
mm-hmm.
you feel awful. And this is what you hear from people, and I kept seeing it, Jackie, as people were asking questions about this. They go, I want to do a cleanse, but I don't want to feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, then this is the one for you.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
The reason you feel bad is those other things is because they're only doing the first part of the cleanse.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
anything, what's the most important thing?
Getting them out.
If you aren't going to get them out, don't free them up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you kidding me? That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you see actually how dangerous it is. It's
mm-hmm.
it's just flat out dangerous. So that's what people really need to understand is that this is science. It's a two-phase approach. It is very nutrient dense. Now, I'm going to tell you, obviously you can hear this, that you're going to be detoxifying every single day. But
mm-hmm.
during this focused time, we're going to push it a little bit more. And we're also going to look at some of the things that you've been doing that you probably think are healthy because the media says they are, that could be creating more of an endotoxic response in your body. Obviously, one of the biggest places that we can get toxins from is our food. So we're going to pull out some of the foods that classically can create more of a toxic response in your body because your body starts to react to them. And this has been an amazing journey for me to see this because I started doing food sensitivity testing in doctor's offices about a decade ago to help people become more compliant with their diet. And we thought, okay, well, we'll do food sensitivity testing because we know if people are reacting to foods that they'll have more joint pain, you know, all those symptoms of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
But what I started to see, Jackie, was that 70% or more of the people reacted to eggs and dairy, eggs and dairy, eggs and dairy, eggs and dairy.
Mm.
I was like, wow. And
yeah.
we already knew soy had a lot of toxicity issues because it's genetically modified most of the time. Soy and corn are very genetically modified crops. And soy, when eaten in excess, I'm not talking about a miso soup once a week, but what I see with most people is, especially if you start to lower carbohydrates or go vegetarian or vegan, you're getting a lot of soy in your body, in
mm-hmm.
your diet, and it's an endocrine disruptor. So it actually can block mineral absorption, and it can start to lower thyroid function. And then you've got the issues with the way that it's processed, the fact that it's sprayed with Roundup and absorbs those chemicals, and then it's genetically modified to be able to do so, and then it's spun in aluminum casks. So there's a lot of issues there besides just those ones. And then you've got corn is another genetically modified crop that I see a lot of people, besides just the problems with those and the fact that these genetically modified crops can damage your gut, I also see people reacting. Again, the foods I saw most commonly, eggs and dairy, and then soy and corn, and gluten, but that's a different type of response. And what I've seen with gluten over the years is that gluten damages everybody's gut. Gluten, there's probably about 30% of people who are flat-out gluten intolerant. It will hurt you if you're eating it. And a small percentage of the population who've got genetic celiac disease. But gluten, first of all, has a morphine-like effect on the brain, which is why we want it, want it, want it. In America, we make our foods, we modify our grains to be much higher in gluten, so we're getting even more, of course. Isn't that perfect? And then,
right.
it actually, part of what gluten does is damage the small intestine, the little hairs in the small intestine that help us absorb our nutrients. So when I really looked at, okay, first thing that you need to do in a cleanse is pull out things that could be creating problems, right? I mean, you got to pull those things out. And one of the biggest places we're getting toxic exposure is from the foods we're eating, especially those ones we get every day, every day, every day. And
mm-hmm.
soy and gluten, eggs and dairy. And eggs and dairy may have a role in a healthy diet. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. I just see so many people reacting to them that generally we have to pull it out for a while, let your body heal from it, and then bring in healthier choices of them, and in a rotated fashion, your body can handle it. But if you've been eating these things day in, day out for an extended period of time, a lot of times your gut wall, which becomes damaged due to stress, due to gluten, due to things like aspirin and Advil and birth control pills, it can become more leaky than it should. And if you're eating the same foods all the time, especially those ones that are of a higher reactivity portions and you don't have good stomach acid, portions of those foods don't get broken down well, get out into general circulation, your body sees them as toxins and launches an attack. Mm-hmm. Because you're eating so much of them, your body can't get rid of those immune complexes that build up, and they start to create and trigger symptoms all over your body. So in order for us to clear that and basically detoxify, we have to get those foods out. And, I mean, minimally for 2 weeks. And I'm going to warn you, because generally I tell people if when you're doing a cleanse correctly, you're not going to feel bad. But there are two things that you will notice if this describes you that will make you feel a little bad for a couple days, okay? I'm just going to say this because we'll have cranky people on the forum.
Saying, wait, you told me I wouldn't feel bad at all.
There's a difference between feeling bad because you're doing something bad for your body and your body is doing its best to tell you and you're not listening, like all of a sudden you just feel horrendous because you've created all of this oxidative stress from not, you know, freeing up toxins and not getting rid of them. That's different from two different things that you're going to notice. Number one, if you've been eating a lot of sugar, and I find so often, Jackie, because I look at so many diet recalls, is that people don't realize, and that's why I love that you are having, you know, people journal, because if you're not doing that, you don't realize how much sugar you're getting. You go in the morning, you're going to have a healthy morning muffin. Well, those healthy morning muffins have the same amount of sugar as a Hostess cupcake, actually, too. Okay, then you have a skinny latte, but, you know, your skinny latte, well, the artificial sweeteners are worse than sugar anyway, and they also damage your gut flora, but the skinny latte, that the milk in there, is just like a big load of sugar as well. Then you're going to have a little yogurt, maybe one of those, you know, yogurts that's good for your stomach later on, but they're loaded with sugar.
Right.
I love advertising. You know, so then you have that. And then maybe you have a Chinese chicken salad, and that's got sugar. So it's like if you're not aware of it, you'd be amazed how much sugar we're getting all throughout the day. And when we take the sugar out, if you've been eating a lot of sugar and refined carbohydrates and teaching your body how to basically run on sugar rather than stored fat, because in order to have great sustained energy, you need to teach your body how to shift from being a sugar burner, which we're not meant to be. We need to have sugar. You know, ideally, our brain fuels very well on glucose, and that keeps a steady focus clarity, and that's done through slow-release carbohydrates. But our body should be fueling on fat, stored fat that we're using for fuel. It's that shift that's going to make you feel a little crappy if you've been eating a lot of sugar. And so that's part of what we're getting aware of right now, you know, is if you've been living on loads of carbs, loads of refined sugar, and even if it wasn't refined sugar, even if it was things like, you know, more carbs, and you shift over, at first you might feel your energy drop a little bit. And by the way, that'll be gone in a matter of days. 2-3 days, you'll go, I can't believe it. So that's the first step, and I'm telling you that because it's great, right? It's great when you, because you go, whoa, I had no idea. You know, because
I definitely, it's so you're giving such a specific thing that I say, okay, this is what's happening versus wondering what is going on.
Right. And so if you feel that way, hey, you know, throw in a piece of fruit with some almond butter. And that'll, if you're starting to feel like, okay, I need some sugar, I'm going down over here.
Right.
then the other one, and this, honestly, I love this when I see this because I know what's going to happen for someone. And again, I think I've told you, I've now taken thousands of people off of gluten, eggs, dairy, soy, corn, peanuts, and with nothing short of miraculous experiences, things that they thought were just normal for them. Oh, you know, I get a headache every afternoon, but that's just normal for me.
Right.
You know,
my grandmother did too, so I'm going to too. Right.
Yeah. It's like they're gone. They're just, oh, I always get PMS. That's normal. Nope, gone. Joint pain, gone. Acne, gone. It's exciting. And so when someone tells me, you know what, I want to do this, but I cannot give up my yogurt. I can't. And I just had someone tell me, I can't give up my yogurt. I'm like, then you have to give up your yogurt. You have to. Because just the very nature of you telling me that tells me that you've got a food sensitivity. Because what happens with these food sensitivities, this toxic response in your body, is it becomes this very low-level response. So you don't put it together. You go, gosh, you know, I get a little bit bloated, but that's just me. You know, whatever, that's just my normal. Well, what turns out is the food reaction that you're having, when your body has those IgGs, they actually start to hunt for that protein, for that food. And so you start to crave that very food that's causing the problems. Right?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And it is incredible because I'll hear, well, I just got to have that muffin. You know, I you hear them say it. And I'm like,
ooh. For me, it's pizza. I mean, there go. I have my times. I have to have pizza. So as you're talking, I'm understanding exactly what's going on.
And so what happens those first couple days, and I've watched it on forums where I've led this program and people are like freaking out. I've got to have cheese. You know, it's like you got to talk them down. If you feel like after the first day that if you do not have your cheese, you're going to go like postal, excellent. Give it 2 more days. It usually takes 3 to 4 days to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable what happens. I think I told you, I shared with you this story. I did a food sensitivity profile on myself. I created leaky gut on myself. You know, I've done all the detoxification work. I've done all the heavy metal testing, everything. And I always used to pride myself on having this gut that could handle anything. And, you know, over the years, I kept seeing more and more of pulling people off of foods and what it was doing. I wasn't eating gluten anymore. I mean, gluten's the devil and soy too. But I was doing this little bit of foamy milk on my Americano. It was like this ritual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would go get it every day, and it had to be a grande size. And I had the little foam, and they had, you know, ridiculous, honestly. And I got my food sensitivity profile back. And the thing with this is, you know, as I said before, hey, if you have one cup of coffee, it doesn't blow this. It's different with these. It's different with dairy and eggs and gluten and soy and corn and peanuts. You'll see that none of that is included here. And you can't have a little bit. So, and I'll come back to that. So I get this food sensitivity profile, and I'm highly reactive to dairy. And the only dairy I ever eat is this little teeny foam on my coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a little bit, but I do it every day. But it's the teensiest mm-hmm. bit, and I don't want to give it up. And I'm sitting here counseling someone on how they must pull every single thing out, that they can't even use like a milk bath, that they can't touch it, they can't, no dairy whatsoever. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, I am a hypocrite. I got
with your Americano.
You know, I've got to. I can't do that. I'm one of those people. Like if I tell you something, then I'm doing the same thing. So, what I did was I pulled it out completely. And the first couple days were just brutal. I mean, brutal. I was like,
uh-huh.
you know, so
that
unhappy.
Small little amount of milk. That
yes.
really.
I was so unhappy, honestly.
Uh-huh. Wow. Wow.
But then, like, 4 days later, I got over it. 2 weeks later, I noticed that, like, my skin's not messing up anymore. I've always struggled with my skin.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And you know what's so funny is I'll usually tell people to challenge things back, and I just went, oh, I'm over it. I don't need it anymore. And, you know, I'd always known the correlation between acne and dairy. So I was like, all right, done. But I was in Las Vegas, and I was at a sushi bar. Should be safe for this kind of stuff, but they put some kind of little sauce in the sushi, and I didn't even think about it. And I had fingertip of it. I mean, hardly any. And I got the worst stomach cramps because quite often when you are reacting to these foods, when you initially pull them out, if you re-challenge a couple weeks later, you'll have a big reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then over time, you can heal yourself back. But for now, what I really want to impress upon you is we are pulling out foods that could be creating a toxic response in your body. They have to go 100%. There isn't, in what I tell people, it's like sitting on 4 tacks. If you're sitting on 4 tacks, your butt hurts. If you take 3 tacks away and sit back down, it's still going to hurt. So you've got to get
uh-huh.
rid of all the tacks, right? So
uh-huh.
when we show you this diet, and we've really made this so that you don't have to think. I mean, and isn't that liberating? Like, I don't know about you, but if someone would just bring me my food every day, I would be the happiest person. Blow dry my hair, bring me my food. That's you
and
know,
my children.
Right?
That would and the family.
And my children,
oh,
yes.
That would be fantastic.
And do their homework for them. You know.
Oh.
So, yeah. Well, now the list just keeps growing. But food's a big one, and what I really wanted to do here was not have you have to think about it, just to really remove choice. And thinking so that it's very simple, so that you have 2 shakes a day. And one of the things that I tell people, I mean, for the long haul, one of the biggest strategies that I always use, and you know it, is that I have people replace a meal a day with a shake because you can slip a lot of nutrition in. And for most people, this is what they're going to do for breakfast. And let's face it, most people are eating dessert for breakfast. It makes me crazy.
Right. And then if for some reason you got up late, then you're so hungry and you reach for the first sugar-filled thing you can find.
Right. And so you just get into this, I mean, I'm just in a total groove. I just start the day with a shake, and I travel with a magic bullet. And so quite often, like when I'm traveling, quite often I'll end up having a shake for dinner too, because I get in late somewhere and I'm not going to go, you know, having some big old room service thing. So that's just one of the things that I do. It's how I roll. But when I do an intense, more focused cleanse, I will do a shake twice a day. And it's just, besides being liberating, it also really helps you, you know, lower your overall calorie load and get in exactly what you need. So love that. And you're getting in this really clean, lean protein that's very easily digestible, that's going to aid the detoxification process that we talked about.
But also, now, it tastes so good.
And
I mean, that's...
Oh, my gosh. And those chocolate shakes, I'm totally hooked on them. So that's the other part.
I had to just say that. When it's easy and it tastes good, it's the absolute combo.
Yes, and we did put up on the forum, I know that we've talked about, I'm kind of jumping all over the place, that we've talked about replacing two meals a day with a shake. That is a big part of the program. And for those of you who are international and don't have access to our shakes that we're going to just make you jealous over, because we're going to talk about all the yummy stuff in them, but we have told you what to look for in a shake, because there are a lot of really there are very few shakes that I will recommend out there. I think there's like two, because most of the ones I see out there either have, you know, the wrong sweeteners. I mean, I'm just so annoyed with the whole agave phenomenon. I can't even tell
mm-hmm.
you. Don't get me started.
Mm-hmm.
Or they use artificial sweeteners, or they use milk protein or egg protein or soy protein. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have a handout that tells you what exactly to look for in a shake. We've made it easier for you if in the U.S. to give you some really amazing high-quality shakes only sold through healthcare professionals, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that are fabulous. And honestly, you'll save money doing this. I mean, that's one of the comments people always tell me, is to start to replace a meal a day with a shake. And especially when you're doing two meals, you end up saving money
mm-hmm.
and time. And you know.
And time, and you don't have to think about it. And also, I do have to remark that I was sort of surprised at how full I felt. I was so satisfied, but sometimes I think, okay, it's a shake. In about 2 or 3 hours, because it's not a meal, I might feel hungry. And especially sometimes when I eat them for dinner, I feel great. I'm full, I'm done, and I'm on my way.
Right. And let's, you know, I'm going to explain why that is for those you know, geeks like me out there that want to know why that is. The reason that you're feeling full on the shakes really has to do with the way that we've put these shakes together, because it's not like this with everything. And it has to go with, and you're going to see this under the class week one, it has to do with eating by the plate. I have what I call my golden rules of meal timing. This is on the plate, where I tell you to eat within an hour of waking up in the morning, okay,
mm-hmm.
and then eat every 4 to 6 hours and stop eating 2 to 3 hours before bed. Now, I've got to always add in there, because, you know, it's amazing how people will interpret what you say. You know, and I remember looking at a client's food journal. I'm going, why did you go to bed at 1 in the morning? Like, we've discussed your bedtime's 10. She goes, oh, I ate at 9. I'm like, ugh. You know,
so I had to stay up.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. So you can see it happening. So really, this flies in the face of what you hear out there, which is you hear to eat every 2 to 3 hours. Okay, so when you eat, you're going to raise blood sugar. That's just a given. If that wasn't the case, we would never have to do fasting blood tests to check your blood sugar levels. We could just do them any time. When you eat, you raise your blood sugar. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
When you raise your blood sugar, you should be raising your insulin, as long as your body is working correctly, because insulin gets your blood sugar back down to normal levels, because higher blood sugar makes your blood sticky and creates problems. It's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're eating and raising blood sugar and raising insulin, you cannot access stored fat for fuel, because your trigger to your body is, we don't need to do that. We've got it right here. And so this idea of eating every 2 to 3 hours has never made any sense to me. And I know people say, oh, well, you burn more calories when you eat. Yes, that's true, you do, but not enough to compensate for the amount you're eating. So
mm-hmm.
if you eat by the plate, which is to have clean, lean protein, and the plate, we've also got a list that shows you what that is. For the sake of this class, that's going to be the pea rice shakes. It's going to be cold water fish, grass-fed beef, and the cold water fish must be wild. Okay, that's a whole other icky situation. And then organic chicken and turkey. So clean, lean protein critical because it actually is more satiating. It slows down stomach emptying, which suppresses ghrelin, the hormone produced by the stomach to tell you you're hungry. Fiber and protein actually do that together. And protein releases a hormone called glucagon that actually opposes insulin produced by carbohydrates, so it kind of keeps your hormones in balance, which is going to then allow you, of course, to access stored fat for fuel faster. So clean, lean protein is at every meal. Healthy fats are at every meal. And we put the amounts, too. And so generally it's 1 to 2 servings of healthy fats. We've had some people say, well, what if I'm doing this and I don't want to lose weight? And again, one of the benefits of a cleanse is generally it does promise fast fat loss. But for some people, they don't need to lose any weight. I do this cleanse because, you know, I just want to kind of regroup and focus on habits, but also intensify my detoxification. I think it's something we should be doing multiple times a year, is just doing a more intense detoxification for our body. So I say 1 to 2 servings of fat. That's, again, laid out on that page. On your meal plan, but you can go up to 3 if you want to and you're trying not to lose weight. And that's part of what we put in the shake, too, that's so satiating, is we've got the clean, lean protein, we've got healthy fat in the form of coconut milk, and you can also add, I'd love to add chia seeds. I'm going through a chia phase right now.
Oh, I'm going through a hemp seed phase right now. That's so funny.
It is, and I know, then I'll switch it. I mean, it's like I'm going through chia seeds and sliced almonds, which I'll share with you the most killer pseudo-shake recipe in a moment. And then, of course, as many non-starchy vegetables as you can possibly stuff in your face. And this is where I tell people, you know, 2 to 3 servings of non-starchy vegetables per meal, but you want to get in as much as you possibly can. I've never seen someone manage to overeat on vegetables. My recommendation is 10 servings of non-starchy vegetables a day, eating from the rainbow to get all of the fiber and the phytonutrients that plants afford. Critical in detoxification because they're providing those antioxidants that, again, remember, as you're moving from phase 1 to phase 2, you produce some oxidative stress. You need a lot of antioxidant support while you're detoxifying. And then the other part are high fiber carbohydrates. This is what I call my slow low carbs, slow low release carbohydrates, things like sweet potatoes, brown rice, black beans, lentils, quinoa. And again, someone looking at this and going, I don't want to lose weight, we're having you have 1 serving the first week, 0 servings the second week. Oh, fruit falls into there, too. You are going to have a little fruit the second week as well. But for someone who doesn't want to lose weight, you can kick this up to 1 to 3 servings and keep them in for week 2. And
For that one person that's listening.
Yeah, we had one person go, I don't want to lose weight. And I go, well, don't tell anyone else because they won't like you anymore. We don't like that person. But anyway, we'll support you. We will support you. So you can have more high-fiber starchy carbs. I also wanted to let you know, we do have a couple vegetarians in the mix as well. And remember, a vegetarian diet, here's the challenges I always see with vegan and vegetarian diets. Is vegan diets, I tend to, you know, I mean, you're going to generally have soy and gluten in there. And a lot of it, and that tends to be very reactive. I see a lot of problems when people are eating high soy diets. I mean, the first thing I tell you to do is get a complete thyroid panel. And then for people who are lacto-ovo vegetarians, that's where I see, you know, they're getting eggs and dairy in every single day. If you are doing that, you can still follow the cleanse. We're using the pea rice protein. And the reason I chose pea rice is because it tends to be very low on what I call the allergenicity scale. There is no such thing, but I'm making it up. And looking at a lot of food sensitivity tests and putting a lot of people on this, I think I've seen 1 person reactive to pea in all of these years and 1 reactive to rice. They're just not, they're very low reactivity foods. So we have some vegetarian recipes for those of you who are vegetarians or vegans. I'm going to tell you, though, if you are looking at this for weight loss, it's going to be slower if you're a vegetarian because that's going to be a higher carb diet, which just doesn't facilitate faster fat loss. That's just the way it be. That's just science. So I'm also going to emphasize that while we looked at toxic foods or these reactive foods as a source of endotoxicity, an obvious other thing is the pesticides on foods. And so we have included the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And although, hey, we'd love you to buy everything you possibly can organic, but, you know, sometimes it's just flat out impossible to find them, or it's so cost prohibitive. So that's where you use this list. And what I also would tell you about the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 is you don't see things like chicken and fish and meat in here. You are what you eat ate. You must. That is where you got to go organic on animal protein and oils, olive oil, okay, critical, mm-hmm. and
coconut oil.
Coconut oil, you know, coconut oil I'm not as crazy about, although the one I get is organic because
okay.
it's in a big, hard, furry, fuzzy shell. So I'm thinking it probably is a little bit safer than some of these other ones. But oils are ones that I tend to be more careful with. And then coffee is huge, big pesticide-laden crop. So focus on those. And then let's look here. Oh. Okay, we talked about, well, we've really talked about what to drink, but I do want to talk about, I have to talk about the stool survey. But before we do that, let's really go over what to do this week and then what to do if you are dining out. And we've included in class one, too, why can't I eat eggs, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, or peanuts? You know, whenever I see that title, I feel like I should whine. Why can't I eat eggs? But don't you? I can almost hear it. And I was the biggest whiner of them all. But what we included here is where these babies hide, because I think what you're going to be amazed at is the many names for these things and then where they hide them that you would never, I mean, who would know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and when you
when you said Chinese chicken salad, I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that I – automatically think, oh, what could be going wrong with that? But when you said it and you brought my attention to it, I thought, oh, yeah, I get what she's saying.
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, first of all, Chinese chicken salad is like the girl diet dream, and it's so not. Like,
yeah, that's what people usually order. That's my exact thought.
All the girls have a Chinese chicken salad, and it's like having dessert, you know?
Such a good example.
I had salad dessert. I had a muffin for breakfast, a yogurt for lunch, and a Chinese chicken salad for dinner, and I just had more sugar than if I'd had a 32-ounce Coke.
Oh, so funny.
So, and it's funny, when you really take sugar out of your diet and you eat sweet things, you're like, wow. You will really
start to realize. Oh, it's just too sweet.
It.
I can taste the I can taste the sugar in a slice of bread, and I was in shock the first time that happened to
me. Yeah, icky. And salad dressings are a big culprit. So that's where it's just easier at a restaurant, and we're going to talk a little dining out stuff. It's just easier to get olive oil, and if you have any kind of yeast overgrowth, go with lemon juice. If you don't, then go with, you know, one of the vinegars. So a couple things. We do have the success kit instructions that you have, so you know how to be using it. And I want you, and you have the shake recipe, and we've included another shake recipe because we found that some people like it thick and some people like it thin. I personally like my shakes thick, and I eat them with a spoon in kind of a cup bowl.
Yeah, it's like that old frosty.
Like that.
But yeah, I like them thin. I on the thinner side, not completely thin. It's like Goldilocks we're talking about here.
I know.
Everybody needs to find their own thing.
Find your bliss on the shakes. Some people, I mean, mine's so thick, it's like literally the spoon stands up. So we have included the, like, here's how to make it thicker, here's how to make it thinner, so you can figure this one out, and other things you can add in, because Jackie throws in kale into hers, and, I mean, how cool is that? Because, again, more veggies, more veggies, more veggies, right?
Right. I do, and it's funny because it doesn't change, obviously, the taste at all, so, you know, because there's so many other things going on in there. So for me, it works.
Yeah. So there's your shake, and that's two times a day, so now you don't have to think. And then you have one other meal, and again, it's you're eating by the plate, so it's got the clean, lean protein, 1 to 2 servings of healthy fats, 2 or more servings of non-starchy vegetables. And I've outlined the serving sizes here as well. And then a serving of high-fiber, starchy carbs. Again, we have vegetarian meals if that's your gig. And if you are the one person who doesn't want to lose weight, you can up the fat and the carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've put in, and I know, Jackie, you've added some other cool recipes as well, and we've really made these things simple. Like my recipes, you'll see, are what I call my meal assembly. I mean, I am like eating out. I mean,
I've obviously looked at the guide, and I just couldn't believe how able to follow it because it's so clear.
Yeah, and obviously in here, like if we have salmon, you could have halibut. You know, you can always substitute one protein for another. You can always, if I say, you know, celery. You could put cucumbers in, so you don't feel like you're trapped. Well, it said lentils, you know.
They're flexipes, fleximeals.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, you can get a little creative. I also put in some snacks here, so you've got some different choices of snacks on here as well. I would like you to keep to 2 fruit servings a day. So if you have a half a cup of fruit in a shake, then you could do an apple with some almond butter if you do have an optional snack. But if you put a whole cup of fruit in a shake and you're having your 2 shakes, then don't have the fruit. So I didn't write in the snacks. One of my other snacks is like a cup of berries with slivered almonds, or to do a apple with almond butter. Don't ever do apple butter. That's terrible stuff. But, again, that depends on how much fruit you're having. I'm going to share one little thing, too, and then we'll talk about good elimination. And, we have to talk about dining out. I'll share this little recipe I made up the other night because I was having, like, just if I don't have chocolate soon, I'm going to, you know, go insane. And so what I did was I took some of the Vegalite chocolate powder and I mixed it with coconut milk to make it thick. And then I threw in a handful of sliced almonds. So it was almost like a pudding candy. And
wow.
A little cinnamon. Oh, wow. Oh, I am telling you what.
And wait, did you just say in cinnamon?
Yeah, a little cinnamon.
Oh, that's
great.
Incredible.
Balances blood sugar. It was so darn good. I mean, so, and you know what the thing is, like, you only need a couple spoonfuls of that.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to eat a bowl of that. You'd be, like, lying out on the couch. But it was so delicious, yummy, and good. I mean, so darn good. So,
well, these shakes gave me permission to have a chocolate shake. I will tell you that I have not had a chocolate shake in years, anything even remotely, you know, resembling the chocolate shake. And it's almost like, wow, I can have this in my life. It's so good.
Well, I've been playing around with them. Like the chocolate one, I love doing chocolate with blackberries and chia seeds. The vanilla I like doing with strawberries. So I've been messing with them to see which things I like the best. I like the vanilla with flaxseed meal. So, and I like to do half chocolate, half vanilla when I want, like, getting real crazy there. I will tell you, I travel a ton. So I do travel with a Magic Bullet blender. I travel with little boxes of coconut milk. If I can't get fruit for my shake, then I just have an apple on the side. So I do this while I travel, and I travel with gluten-free jerky. I travel with a septic-packed wild salmon. I travel with nuts, and it's easy, really. And, I mean, I travel usually, you know, every week. And
I know, and that was such a good list. That's almost your go-to pack of what you have so that you're never stuck.
It is my go-to pack, and I'm really working on putting that together as like a little, because so many people now have asked about this, and it was funny.
Right.
In a coffee shop the other day, and this girl was telling me, oh, yeah, I've just been traveling so much, and I just feel like a wreck. And I go, why? She goes, it turns out when I travel, I will tell you, I go to the bookstore in the plane, in the airports, and I always feel like I can buy the total trash, like People or Star or something, that I wouldn't be caught dead getting anywhere else. And that's like my guilty indulgent pleasure. But her guilty indulgent pleasure was to get Snickers and chips. And I was like,
oh,
what?
Yeah.
You know?
Wait a minute.
So when I ran down the list of what stuff I carry, she was like, oh, my gosh, I never would have thought of that. I go, you're kidding. Really? So I'm putting that together, too, because, again, it's jerky.
Well, I also like it just as a it's also good. In addition, let's say you just have a really full day or really full couple days. You know you're going to be running around a lot. Maybe you have a lot of meetings, and you're going to be stuck in different places. That go-to pack that you were just talking about is also good just when you're really busy, and who's not?
Exactly. So, I mean, I have in my laptop bag, I have all this stuff stashed. So, and I always keep stuff stashed in my purse because then you never get stuck. Like if you have a baggie of nuts and seeds in your purse, you're never stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to get in trouble. So that's that makes it very easy. I'll tell you also traveling, like fast food wise, I think Mexican's always the easiest to do fast food. Chipotle being my all-time shout-out favorite. I get a salad. I get fajita vegetables. I double up on the fajita vegetables, a little scoop of black beans, chicken, guacamole, salsa. So the guacamole is my healthy fat. I got the high-fiber carbs from the salsa black beans. I got the loads of non-starchy vegetables, and the chicken's my protein, and they do the no-hormone-added chicken. So, I mean, this is simple. You can do the same thing at Baja Fresh and Rubio's. And I look at wherever I am, I look at the menu as purely a recommendation of what's possible, which completely aggravates the the waiters. But, you know, I'm going to figure out what – I usually do double vegetables. If they don't have a good high-fiber, low-glycemic, slow, low-carb, I just skip that. I might have an apple or some berries or something. But I'm generally doing – you know, a good clean, lean protein, loads of vegetables. I like to start with the salad. I make sure salad hasn't turned into dessert by having things like, you know, a sweet dressing and glazed nuts and, mm-hmm. and dried fruit. I mean, that's you can really undo yourself. Do you know that iceberg wedge, which iceberg's trash anyway, but that iceberg wedge salad, the blue mm-hmm. cheese one,
that blue
is like
cheese,
a 1,000-calorie salad, and they used to make that salad dressing. Now it's a couple, you know, serving obviously more than one person, but they use a cup of sugar in that salad dressing.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that. Oh my gosh.
Horrific.
Well, then you also told me you do that almost that Caesarless salad, and then you just ask for olive oil.
Yeah, here's a great Caesarless salad. I forgot about that. So just get, because you want romaine lettuce, and a lot of times they do iceberg, which iceberg is just a pesticide receptacle, so skip that one. You know, I'm going to do spinach or romaine, so I'm always mm-hmm. looking at what kind of salads they have, and then I add chicken, tomatoes, avocado, and a little olive oil and vinegar on the side.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds just delicious. Many times restaurants have chopped jalapeno or chopped garlic in the back, and so sometimes I'll ask for lime wedges and a little bit of garlic and a little jalapeno. They'll almost bring out those tiny little bowls, and I'll make my own dressing out of it, and it's delicious.
That sounds, you know, it's like, again, one of those things that you – you have to look at the menu and go, wow, look at all the things they have here.
Yeah, it's a great recommendation. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what did they have here? So one last thing, that this is a perfect wrap-up, is to talk about good elimination. Now, I will tell you, next week we're going to really talk about, you know, what more you can do to intensify detoxification and all those other things that really will help you to get more out of the cleanse. So that's coming up. But this week, what I want to make sure of is that you are having good elimination poops that you can be proud of. So we must make sure that we address this. And I know, have you taken the stool survey, Miss Jackie? I want to know.
Do not put me on the spot here. I have to say, and I'm wondering if, as other people listen to this, this honestly makes me uncomfortable to talk about.
Like, are you for real? I will tell you, once you open this floodgate, you'll be amazed. I've had to tell people, let's not post pictures, okay? But what I want to do, there is a stool survey. It's posted under Class 1, and it's fun to do. And take it, because you'd be amazed how many people have, you know, gut issues. I mean, almost everybody. And how many people are not getting in? One a day is minimal, okay? It should be 1 to 3 a day, okay? Mm. Really, 2 to 3 is great. And I can go through in depth how they should be, but it's all in here, and you'll start to see your issues. And the reason I have you take this quiz is it's going to help you identify the areas that need your attention. So you'll be able to see, okay, like, what's really a problem here, because you, again, should be having 1 to 3 bowel movements a day, and they should be, you know, ones that you can be proud of. Again, not rabbit poops and not like a big sludgy mess, okay? Mm-hmm. So well-formed, slowly sink. It's not just a catapulting dive bomb down. I'm sorry, Jackie. I know you're just shuddering over there. Shouldn't stink. Shouldn't, like, mark up the toilet bowl. And if this is not you, hopefully just by titrating up your fiber and increasing your water and making sure that you're moving more this week, it will help. But if that's not enough for you, I'm going to give you a couple other recommendations. Next week, one of the things I'm going to recommend is a detox bath, but an Epsom salts bath can help. Obviously, moving more can help. Taking time for elimination. I find a lot of people just don't even take the time for it. Take the time. Hot water with lemon in the morning can help. You can substitute your berries for prunes in your shake. That's another great one. And then magnesium citrate. It would be great if you gave a link to be able to order magnesium citrate.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. on your site. Start with 3 at night, and you can bring that up to 6. So take it, keep taking one more each night until you get to a point where you're having those good, consistent 1 to 3 bowel movements a day without a struggle. If that's not working, there's a great product, Herbal Laxative from Thorne, and I honestly think that should be in everybody's travel kit. Mm-hmm. 1 to 2 of those will get you started, and that shouldn't mm-hmm. be something you have to rely on all the time, okay? You need to, if you're not pooping well, then you should really order the cleanse kit, that advanced cleanse kit, where we have digestive enzymes and we have probiotics and Berber caps, and that will help get things moving. But the Herbal Laxative is an amazing product just to keep on hand, mm-hmm. right, just if things aren't quite going the way they should. So take the stool survey. It's going to help you identify if there are any issues here with you. You probably already sense there are, though. I got to tell you, Jackie, I'm amazed how many people don't realize that they have a problem, because I had one girl like this. She went to the bathroom twice a week, and that's, she'd been like that her entire life, and her doctor just told her that must be normal for her.
I've heard that too.
It's not normal, okay? And good elimination. This is one of the major ways we detoxify. So if you are not doing this well, you've got a big problem.
No pun intended.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. So, yes, that's it. You must do it. Okay,
moving
so
on.
Take the stool survey. You're in. Okay, so let's just recap what's going on this week. You know how to follow your meal plan. You're going to be reporting in, logging in. And then this week, we've got a Q&A call. And so you will be getting on that Q&A call with any questions. And Jackie, can you just tell them how they go about doing that?
Yes, 2 places to post your questions. I know sometimes people want to do things in a personal way, so you could just send them to cleanse@puretrainer.com, and obviously you get your emails from there, so you can just reply right back. Or you can post them in the community. Sometimes when you post them right in the comment section and other people start to see it, they say, oh, I have a question too. That reminds me. And then you can even have more questions answered. So we're going to address some questions that have been sent before, but we're also going to do a live Q&A. So we'll be sending out the time of that call. And if you can join us, it'd be great, because JJ will be there right to answer your calls on the spot.
Yep. So either which way, we can get your questions answered. So just make sure you fire them up, because not knowing what to do is not an excuse for not doing it.
Yeah, right? Please do not. You always hear when you're growing up, no question is too small. Don't ever be bashful. This is really your time. You can ask them completely anonymously, and you can ask anything you want. I mean, we've been talking about stool, so how uncomfortable could your questions be here?
Yeah. Yeah, I can pretty much tell you that there's really nothing you can ask me or say that would shock me at this point. I mean, come on, I did Freaky Eaters, for God's sake. There's really nothing that you can do remotely that will flip me out. So ask
away. And I'm going to repeat that. So cleanse@puretrainer.com. That's where you get a lot of your emails. So you can really just hit reply, or you know, you're in the Fresh Start Cleanse team, and you can post it right in the comment section, because everyone knows I'm there. I'm looking at the questions. We'll call them out, and we'll get them answered.
Fabulous. So again, next week we're going to go deep. So we will build on what we've done this week, and we look forward to seeing you on the Q&A call, or if you're not going to be there, answering your questions so you can listen in later.
Absolutely. We'll see you in the team, too.
All righty. Make it a great week.
Bye.